Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff, here. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Terry.
Woohoo!
Good to have you here. Good to have the gang back together. We're
going to
have some
here.
Fun today. We got a bunch of things to get to. In this 7 o'clock hour alone, we're going to get into our National Day of calendar. We got to talk Girl Scout cookies. Got a ranking here of the Girl Scout cookies.
All right,
cookies.
Did you see the new one?
No. We'll get into that people, too. We got that coming up for you. It is Friday the 13th.
Yeah,
so we got to talk about that. We're a morning show. We have to talk about that. That's coming up for you a little bit later, too. We're going to talk about looking old and what that might mean inside and out. I don't know. That sounds like a That Ain't Right story to me.
It kind of does.
We got that coming up for you, too. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, and we're going to make you a star of the day with our friends from Culver's. Got a good one lined up today, and I don't believe we've used it before.
Oh, am I going to be stumped?
I don't think. Actually, okay. I think it's really easy.
Because last week's was kind of tough.
It was a little rougher. It was. But they made it through. We have some great listeners out there, smart, intelligent listeners. Be listening for that to win some free Culver's late in the 8 o'clock hour, 9 o'clock hour, good stories, That Ain't Right stories. We got plenty of that going on. We're going to talk about Civic Media's $1 million advertising giveaway as well throughout the show today. Got so much to get to. I do want to kick things off first. Terry, how you doing?
I'm doing well, but it is kind of Friday the 13th.
It's got
a little Murphy's Law going on today. So I can appreciate that, but end of the week. Here we come.
We are finally here. It is Friday. They cannot take that away from us. did want to talk a little bit about the United Way, of course, with you to kick things off. And I wanted to start actually rewinding a little bit to your supporter celebration, your honored supporter celebration that you guys had.
Yeah. So we had on Wednesday our thank you celebration for the campaign. And, you know, Wednesday was the day. It was a no school day because of all the ice in the morning and stuff. So I was a little concerned. Didn't know how many folks we would have because it's more of an open house style event, you know, not something that you have to register for. So I was like, well, we're running with it no matter what. But it was very well attended. We had a really great time. And what we do at that event is this is for anybody who contributed to our campaign, mm-hmm. And that might be through volunteering and or through financial contribution. So we were able to call out and recognize our campaign chair, Craig Byrne, from Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, and he did a phenomenal job this past fall working with us on campaign. Mm-hmm. We have a campaign team of loaned executives, so recognizing them and company coordinators, and then looking at the, you know, kind of the individual aspect of it in thinking about leadership giving, individual donors who donate $500 or more per year, recognizing all of those who were in attendance, recognizing loyal contributors. And this is always kind of fun. So loyal contributor is anybody who's given to the United Way campaign for 10 years or more. Mm-hmm. And so what I did is I asked the whole room to stand, anybody who's given for 10 years or more, and then just had them kind of sit down, you know, in like 10-year increments. Mm-hmm. And we actually had someone in the room who had been giving for 45 years.
Wow.
So that's really cool. But on our list, if you visit our website at uwswac.org and click on Giving Communities, you can see our list of loyal contributors. And we actually have two people who have been giving for more than 70 years.
Wow.
So isn't that really, it's really awesome. Very cool. So we recognize those. And then we also, of course, thanked our sweepstakes sponsors again, because that's a big deal and really helps us with campaign. And then we had some company awards. So we recognized high per capita giving, high mm-hmm. participation, and then some Live United awards. Like, for instance, the radio station here received a Live United award for all of the help promoting what we do throughout the year. And so we had a good handful of those. There was probably about a dozen of those that we called out for, you know, just really special things going above and beyond. So really great celebration. As always, Bullseye Golf Club did a fabulous job. Mm-hmm. Our friends over at Urco Worldwide sponsored the event so that we had some food and that kind of thing there. So it just really nice, warm, fuzzy, just all good and more good and more good. And it just is fabulous. We put our photo gallery up on Facebook yesterday. So if you check us out on Facebook, United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, you can see all the photos from the event as well.
You guys have a lot of, I mean, it sounded like a great event, sounded like it went well, as it does every year. A big shout out to Bullseye Country Club, Bullseye Golf Club as well. Always hosting these things, doing a nice job with them as well. And glad everybody could show up. I apologize for not being there. I was going to surprise you this year, and then I got, of course, a class that I had to teach. But I'll try to surprise you next year.
All right, you do it.
Just try to forget that I told you this. There's plenty of other things going on, of course, with the United Way. We have a sponsor a date on your calendar raffle still available.
Yep, so there's a couple of days available there. Mm. Not too many. I think there's 3 dates left. And then Power of the Purse. We are also accepting sponsorships for that event, which takes place on March 14th, and that is to support childhood literacy. And really, Imagination Library is a big part of where those funds go. And then other literacy supports for classrooms. So Power of the Purse event is the 14th of March, but we're soliciting sponsorships for that now. And then we are also accepting registration for our Born Learning Academy. So Born Learning Academy will be starting soon. This is a series of 6 workshops for families who have an infant, toddler, or preschool age child. And it's 6 in-person, I should say, workshops. A hot meal is provided, and then some learning time and practice time with your child. And it's a great way to come on out, meet other parents, pick up some maybe new skills, maybe just brush up on some skills if it's been a while since you've had an infant or toddler. And, you know, we really encourage families to partake in this. Sometimes that can feel like a big commitment, you know, 6 weeks in a row for an hour and a half. But the meal's provided, childcare is provided. It's really designed to be really easy for you to pick up and, you know, whatever you're doing and come and participate in the event. So you can register for that by visiting our website, uwswac.org, or you certainly can call Ben at the United Way office at 715-421-0390.
I wanted to get into another couple of things, too. But before I do, you can also keep up with the United Way by following them on social media. It's a great follow. And reach out to United Way with any of your, especially businesses out there, different people that are looking to be a part of things with the United Way. It's one of the greatest organizations you can have your company's name attached to. So we encourage you to do that as well. I had somewhere I wanted to go, but Terry, I look at the chair. I got to call it audible. I look at the chair across from you. See
that.
The dog hair on it?
Yes, I heard there was a puppy here yesterday.
We haven't had a dog in the studio, and so not in the new studio at all. Pretty well. Marcus's dog was here a bit.
Okay,
and great dog, good boy, good dog. But we had another good boy in yesterday, and Sully. We had our Madison and Sully. Madison, of course, the executive director over at the Humane Society, Southwick County Humane Society. And Sully the dog, and we took a picture that's on our Facebook page for you and everything. It's not. I by the way, new rule. I'm not taking pictures with people that are prettier and handsomer than me
and holding a dog.
Yeah, yeah. Like I can't compete with
next
that.
Next time you should hold the dog.
I'm in my 40s. I can't compete with that. I work in radio. I can't afford like surgery or anything. I can't. Side note.
So is that in that later story where we talk about feeling and looking old? Yes. Like we're all just going to say, okay, everyone grab your mirror.
That's the reason for it. Yeah, exactly.
So it looks like maybe the puppy was a little bit anxious maybe by the amount of dog hair on the chair. Maybe he was just a little bit nervous.
You know, it was his first time on radio. I warned him ahead of time. I had some real hardball questions.
I see.
And they just turned into
furball
questions.
He left half of his coat on the chair.
Yes, he did, yeah. do want to remind, send a thank you to Madison again. Again, for being here yesterday, Bow Wow Meow Boutique, for sponsoring this segment. And encourage you to not only be listening next Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour for our next Pet of the Week with our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society, but encourage you to reach out to them. Any time you are looking, you got a couple hours to kill, and maybe you can go over there and help out walking these dogs or anything else they might need over there. And certainly if you have an extra bag of food or something, they're in cat season, so really could use wet food, things, cat-related food. SWCHS.com is their website, SWCHS.com. Go there to find out any other information.
I think it's really awesome that this has come back.
Yeah.
You know, the Pet of the Week thing. So, yeah, that's cool.
As I mentioned a little bit later, we'll get into Girl Scouts, Girl Scout cookies and everything. But for now, it is Friday the 13th. And right now, 1 in 5 of you are nervous. At least, statistically. Maybe more, maybe less. If you're feeling nervous, you're not alone. Around 1 in 5 people are with you on that. And here is a quick roundup of Friday the 13th. Kind of a little bit of nonsense, maybe a little bit of truth for you. I'm not going to judge. You know, I, I have long talked about how I feel about superstitions and these things. I think you make your own luck in life. I don't really put any stock into superstitions. However, the smartest person I've ever known, my mother, does. And so I don't pretend that I know everything. I don't pretend, hey, if this does something for you or even a placebo effect, I ain't going to take that away from anybody.
I'm so wishing right now I would have hustled up some rabbit's feet.
Yes. Yes.
I wish I would have thought of that before I got here.
I knew a friend growing up that wouldn't leave anywhere without his rabbit's foot.
But do you remember, like, you'd go in stores, even like gas stations and stuff, and they'd be hanging there in every color.
Yes.
You know, but have you, when's the last time you saw one?
Oh, you will never see one of those again. You will never see a rabbit's foot again. Not with PETA, not with the rise of animal rights and those things. I don't think it could be.
These people clearly don't have rabbits in their yard chewing all their stuff.
I want to guess that the 90% of the rabbit's feet we saw were fake. I'm almost positive. But yeah.
They are destructive.
They are.
If we have to sacrifice a few to get some rabbit's feet back in the stores, then I think we should.
I imagine there's a lot of people with gardens out there listening that are not arguing with you. I love rabbits, though. I prefer that. I think they're just as lucky living. I think that, except for your garden, possibly. Uh-huh. Not as lucky for you that. A recent poll found 19% of us think Friday the 13th really is bad luck. So almost 1 in 5 people are true believers.
What happens when it's Friday the 13th and a full moon?
Ah, yeah. Oh, don't they count at each other? I mean, I would think a full moon.
No way. Do you think people get goofy when there's a full moon?
Oh, I think that people look for any excuse to blame their goofiness on. You know, the tides are high. Yeah, that's why. The moon is in retrograde and et cetera.
All right, fair enough.
You're
just saying they're goofy all the time.
I think that honestly, if you're looking for answers, you can find them. If we've learned anything in the past 10, 15 years.
Even the last 3 years.
Yeah. You want to prove something, you can find a way to do it. I just think that this is kind of interesting, though, especially for people that are out there that are maybe, you know, handling this today. 26% overall say that there are at least one thing in their life they're superstitious about. 21% think breaking a mirror or walking under a ladder can cause bad luck. Opening an umbrella indoors, 19%. Black cats, 15%. That's ridiculous. The 13th floor of a building, 13%.
A lot of them don't even have that, though.
Yeah, right? Yeah, most
they skip
the majority
it.
Of
they
them.
They go 12 to 14.
And stepping on a crack, 12% for that one. Do you have any superstitions?
I don't know. I don't think so, but I'm laughing because I'm thinking about all these things. And do you remember as a kid, these things were talked about?
Oh.
But like if I said these things to my kids right now, like don't open that umbrella in the house, like they would have no idea. How did we lose this art?
See, you touched on this with the rabbit's foot. I wanted to wrap up on this. I wonder what happened to it. I brought this up with my students. Not a dang one of them knew what I was talking about. Like they knew like loosely some of these things. But as far like the break in the mirror, that was the only one they recognized. All these other ones, they're like, what do you mean opening an umbrella? I always open umbrellas indoors.
Or swallowing gum. Or do you, I mean, seriously, do you ever remember when you were a kid, like you're on a walk with your mom and you like intentionally jump on the crack and then laugh and laugh.
Look like, right at her when
like,
you do
yes!
it.
Yes. Yeah, and now kids are like, they don't even get it.
Don't have no
All
idea.
All the fun is gone.
I think that with the rise of the internet and being able to literally, I think it, I can look it up if it's true or not. I think that in a weird way, one of the things that we've lost is some of this. Maybe, you know, maybe it's more out there than we're just not around it or something. But yeah.
I don't know. And I don't really know that I have any of these that I follow, but I'm not going to intentionally walk under a ladder.
That's where I come into play because I used to do a lot of those things. Just because
on purpose,
I thought it
you're
was
saying?
Silly. Yeah. During a run of a show, you're not supposed to say Macbeth.
Right.
You're not supposed to say Macbeth. Oh, I drove theater people crazy with that. I said
it
all the time.
You were doing it on purpose? Yeah. You're so naughty.
It's so darn. So, guess what? You're not going to have a perfect show anyway. It's live theater. It's something that I've chased literally since sixth grade is the perfect show. And I've done thousands of shows and it's never happened. I mean, you make your own luck in this world. We'll have two Friday the 13th this year. The next one is in October. Fun fact, there's always at least one per year, but never more than three. The next time we'll have three is in 2026.
Oh, cool. So the next one's in October. See, and then it's by Halloween.
Yes, excellent. I mean, see, I like that. That's fun. I like that. The word for a fear of Friday the 13th is impossible to pronounce and 23 letters long. But I'm going to give it a try, everybody.
You should.
I'm going to give it a try so that you can laugh at me or I can get this right and I can brag all day. Paraskevi Deca Triophobia. Paraskevi Deca Triophobia. That is the term. And the people, to answer your question, Terry, I looked this up. Crazy people. Crazy people with nothing better to do sit around in the dark room and somebody who...
On Friday the 13th.
...diagnosed something and they just pop their head in the room. Hey, give me a name for this. And they... Paraskevi Deca Triophobia.
All of the phobias are just strange. The name for them, I mean...
I think what's even, yes, the name is strange. What I think is even stranger is how, you know, you can have, every brain is so different. And what is something completely natural and comfortable for one person can be a phobia for another.
That's true.
It's so weird to me. You can have two people raised in the same, my brother and sister and I, same household. They got their driver's license and all that stuff perfectly on time, just like a normal, you know, teenager and all those things. I'm completely different. There are things that stand out for them and vice versa. It's so weird to me how the brain works. If you are not superstitious, it's a good day to fly. According to Kayak, Friday the 13th plane tickets tend to be cheaper because no one wants to cruise around at 30,000 feet today.
That would never even cross my mind.
Not even close. Especially if the ticket's cheap. If the ticket's cheaper, so I mean, it's not Southwest. I'm definitely looking at
it. What if it's cheap and Southwest? It's just you and Black Cats.
Yeah. Oh, that I'm fine with.
Then you're good? Okay.
I have no qualm with Black Cats. I think they're cool. A study in 2013 found it's actually a safer day to fly than average. That said, a plane crash from the movie Alive happened on Friday the 13th in 1972. If you don't care about bad luck and you're just hungry, Wendy's is giving out free French fries today with any order. You just have to order online. They're calling it their Friday the 13th deal.
Cool.
That's a good spin. That's a grid spin. That's actually, it's some smart marketing right there by them. More people should take advantage of that stuff. That's pretty good. A little bit later, we will talk about Friday the 13th and some lucky and unlucky stats about tonight's Mega Millions. See how that plays into things. For now, we'll take a quick commercial break, come back with our National Day of Calendar. It's Terry and James taking it through your morning at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you, and it is time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this January 13th, 2023. International Skeptics Day.
Is it always on Friday the 13th,
I think every day is International Skeptics Day if you're a skeptic. I mean, why would you believe that today is Skeptics Day? You would be skeptic about
that. Why do they get a day?
Yeah, I don't think you really need to. I mean, I'm pretty sure that every day they're skeptical. I don't think that that's something they turn on and off. While there is a necessity to keep imagination and belief alive, a necessity that can almost be said to be vital to the human soul, Skeptics Day celebrates those who help us keep our feet on the ground while we reach for the stars.
Oh, interesting.
So the cynical out there.
Yeah, right? Here's your day.
The Jameses. I'll be honest. I mean, it can be me quite a bit. I'll be honest about that. National Peach Melba Day.
I like jumping right to dessert. That's fine with me.
Is that what this is? Okay, yeah. I haven't heard of this.
I think it's ice cream. Peaches on ice cream.
I've had that. Yeah, this is was invented back in the early 1900s. Nice. I got it. That does look really good. And wonderfully, it is Public Radio Broadcasting Day.
Oh.
Imagine life without the internet. This may not be all that hard for everyone, as there are many people out there who grew up without the internet. So now try to imagine life without television. Maybe a little bit different. But many people are not fans of sitting in front of the TV, so having some television may seem perfectly bearable without. Now the hardest part, imagine life with either the aforementioned things and now without radio either. You come home after a long day at work and are greeted by silence, complete and utter silence. The radio has been there for you for a long time, people. And it's a great day to appreciate broadcasting, especially public broadcasting. The first public radio broadcast in history took place on January 13th in 1910 when a live opera featuring some of the most renowned opera singers of the day was broadcast from the Metropolitan Opera House. The first ever broadcast was several hours long and consisted of Pierto Mascagni's Cavallari Regario, two very popular operas at the time, performed by such opera stars as Emmy Destin, Ricardo Martin, and Encrio Carsuo. Not many people were able to actually pick up the broadcast, which was heard only in the DeForest Radio Laboratory on board ships in New York Harbor and in larger hotels on Times Square.
Huh, that's really cool.
Wow, that is fascinating. That is really, really interesting. Huh. That's where this all started.
And isn't it kind of crazy, though, that it's only, so that's only like 113 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not, it's not 200-300 years, you know, that's cool.
We are all victims of time. Time just only knows one direction, it goes forward, so we don't get a chance truly to appreciate things. We think we do. We think we understand that we do. We think we can, but there's just no way for us to truly appreciate stuff until we get so far away, so far removed from it. Oftentimes, people removed from that time that were there for it to be able to look back and say exactly what Terry just did. Look at what we've done in the last 100 years in radio.
Like, yeah.
It's insane. It's gotten so big and so out the box and everything that now you've got, yes, radio stations like us. You've got streaming. You've got satellite radio. You have podcasts, which many people will say are akin to radio. You got a billion different things out there. Like, if you want to listen to it, you can find it. You got a way you like to listen to it. You have a medium you want to listen to it. You have a certain style, or you want to listen to it online or in your headphones or in your car.
Yeah, it's kind of endless.
It really is. Yeah. It's pretty dang impressive. And I don't think it's a fault of ours. It's just the act of being human. We kind of keep moving. We have to. That's life. But it's nice to be able to take the time sometimes and be like, dang, thank you, public radio. I don't know where we'd be without it. It's got this whole ball rolling, not only radio, but television, internet, so many other things. Rubber ducky, you're the one. National Rubber Ducky Day.
Aww.
Treat yourself to a fun bath time toy, attend a convention to admire people's collections, or race these bobbling birds to raise funds for good causes.
I just saw a car the other day, seriously, a car, driving down the road, and they had a whole collection of rubber duckies across the front dash. You know, like the little ones, they weren't impeding their vision or anything, but I was just like, what is happening in that car? And then when I get closer, I'm like, oh, rubber duckies.
Some people just, they like collecting those, yeah. Rubber duckies have a clouded history. No one really knows precisely where they came from, but whether it was our own time, our own bath time, or the song from Ernie from the Muppets, we all know of them and wanted one. Rubber Ducky Day is here to help us remember to appreciate this part of childhood and cleansing ritual. Now, it is a nice thing that they mentioned there about the fundraisers and raising money for good causes.
Yeah, those are fun, and they're pretty easy to do. You know, like here, I know the Chamber's done it where they drop them at one bridge, you know, at the Jackson Street Bridge, and whoever's duck makes it, they're just numbered. You know, whoever's ducks make it to the Grand Avenue Bridge first are the winners. So, yeah, it's cool.
It's National Sticker Day.
Oh, remember Scratch and Sniffs?
Yes, yes. Stickers
I
were
love
great.
Those.
Stickers are also one of those things that one of the great signs that you are getting older. Hey, I'll give you a sticker for this. I don't care. I'll go buy some. Okay, yeah, you're old. Like, as soon as you cannot be bribed by stickers, you realize, okay, I am officially old. I don't care if you're 10. You're old. It's just the way this works.
Or when the tables turn on you when you're a parent and it's like, the stickers only go on paper.
Yes, 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 yes.
Nowhere else.
I've never thought about this before. And I, I'm lucky I'm on the air right now. Otherwise, I'd look at this for the next hour, probably. The history of stickers. I've never thought about it.
Me either.
European merchants in the 1880s were some of the first people to stick labels to their products in an effort to promote their goods and wares to passersby. Originally, they would use gum paste to get the labels to adhere and stick, hence the name stickers.
Oh, very cool.
Wow. But the 1900s, a sticker-specific paste had been developed and was widely used, mostly notably on stamps, which would dry and then would be able to be reapplied when moistured.
Cool.
National Sticker Day is celebrated today in honor of R. Stanton Avery, who was born on this day in 1907. It was R. Stanton Avery who invented the modern version of stickers in 1935, launching a new company and a new industry, which is fairly impressive considering he wasn't even 30 years old yet.
Yeah, that is cool. And so you see, like, Avery Labels.
Yes.
So that is this company.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It all comes together. That's really cool.
Well, and even, you know, I don't know if you'd call them stickers, but like post-it notes.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that technology was developed right here. I mean, so, you know, that's pretty cool.
That is very cool. I like that stat. That's a good one to mention. It's, but actually, Terry, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. I'm blaming you for
says
everything.
Says the cynic.
Yep.
Ironic that these fall on the same day.
Yeah, it is very sad. National Blame Someone Else Day. Give your conscience a break for just one day and lay all your blame on someone else. This is horrible.
All right, here you go, James.
Okay. I guess, you know what? You can go ahead and put your blame on me today, everybody. Whatever goes wrong, you don't get, to, you know, you come up to the car, you know, you come up to the stoplight and it's always red. That's my fault. The weather is not perfect. My fault. Go right ahead. You need someone. I'm a pretty good punching bag. So
and if you,
you
want
right
to
ahead.
Call him, it's 715. No, I'm just kidding.
National Make Your Dream Come True Day.
Oh,
that's a good one. Of course, you know, again, this is another one of those. Every day is a good day for this. People often make the mistake of letting their dreams remain just that, dreams. Dreams they have at night, but then neglect in the morning. Dreams they hardly dare to speak of, at least they don't dare to don't come true. Little bits of fantasy doomed to remain that way, but they don't have to. Of course, there are some dreams, like becoming a neon flying tiger, that, you know, or being Batman, might not come true. But there are thousands of dreams that are not nearly as impossible as very reachable. In fact, there are many people out there that will tell you nothing is impossible.
You know, I think it's a little weird that Make Your Dream Come True Day is on the same day as Blame Someone Else and Cynic Day.
I don't think that they know what they're doing. I generally, I'm not at all trying to be mean here, but I really don't think the National Day of People have any clue what they're doing. I don't think they talk to each other.
I mean,
other.
If right before that we're saying just blame, take a break and blame someone else for everything, and then we go all Pollyanna.
They, like, pick a lane here. All right, so yeah. And it's Korean American Day. It's a fantastic one to appreciate, especially if you happen to know any Korean Americans. Reach out to them. Happen to know a handful myself. Great, wonderful people. Let's see here. I did want to take a quick glance at this weekend. Like, tomorrow is Take a Missionary to Lunch Day. That's an interesting one. Okay.
Sorry, I should laugh. That is a good thing. It I just don't one. Know. Where would you find one right now?
Yeah, well, it's just so specific. It's just, it's interesting, though. And on Sunday, the 15th, there was a good one here. Yeah, National Frisky is Juice Day and World Snow Day.
Oh, nice.
And, of course, on a Sunday, it would happen Elementary School Teacher Day.
Elementary school teachers, you take the day off on Sunday.
Yes, you have the day off. And a greatly, a big thank you, a big shout out to all of our elementary
Absolutely.
School teachers.
And you know what? Take that to heart, though. Take Sunday off. Don't do your lesson planning and stuff. Do it some other time and really, you know, take a break.
That's a really good point. That's good. And National Hat Day on Sunday as well, and Bagel Day on Sunday, which actually Sundays are my days. I usually have a bagel.
I like bagels.
I love bagels. Oh, I love a good bagel. I get in trouble with my mother, of course, though. Tells me I am not a true Jew because I put butter on my bagel and I don't put cream cheese on there.
You have to put both. I'm
going to try, you know, I'm going to try both. I'm going to try both and see how that works.
That's good.
I'll try it this Sunday on National Bagel Day.
Make sure you toast it first.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I have made that mistake. We'll take a break here. We'll come back and have some more fun after Melissa's news on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here on WFHR. Oh, geez. Serious comedy to start your day.
Are you having flashbacks or what?
Unfortunately, yes.
What? Unfortunately?
Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, it's a great soundtrack. It's a legendary soundtrack that millions and millions and millions of people love. My little sister and my cousin Lisa were two of those people, and they had Dirty Dancing on a VHS tape, and they watched it, Terry, endlessly all summer. All summer. I had to hear, get baby out of there, don't put baby in the corner, don't put baby in the corner, like over and over and over. Can't handle it. I can't.
So what made you want to go into acting?
Yeah, really. I immediately wanted to be Jerry Orbach. Yes, I wanted to be. Terry and James here with you.
Thank your sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll think we're all right. It's Friday the 13th, everybody, and here are some lucky and unlucky stats for tonight's massive Mega Millions jackpot. Just go over some of these, have some fun with it. The estimated, it is up to $1.35 billion.
I should probably buy a ticket.
Yeah, I don't know. I never do these things. I've never bought one before. You see, $1.35 billion, though, it does kind of like, wait a minute.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, it does.
How many, are those tickets like, they must just be a couple bucks, huh?
They can't be much.
Five, something?
Got to be something like that. Over the past 5 years, the most commonly drawn number has been 14. It's been drawn in 9.7% of all drawings since 2017. The numbers 17, 10, 31, and 38 are also very common, with each occurring in at least 9% of drawings.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. And that's the high number. 9% is the high number on this. The least drawn numbers are 49 and 51. They've only been drawn 4.6% of the time. The numbers 50, 35, and 55 are also very uncommon.
I don't know that I would do my own numbers. I think I would just let the machine pick them.
Hey, me too. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if there's one way to guarantee I am not going to win, it's choosing my own numbers.
Or though, like, there was that guy not that long ago. It wasn't a huge jackpot like this, but he's won the lottery like, what, three times or four times on the same numbers?
The same ones. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's interesting.
That seems, that seems crazy to me. When it comes to just the Mega Ball, the most commonly drawn numbers are 22, 11, and 9. The least common Mega Balls are 8, 7, and 5.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know that I don't know that there's any real rhyme or reason here, obviously. This is all just random. The most overdue number is 5, which hasn't been drawn since March 18th of 2022. The numbers 49 and 42 are also very overdue.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to go work there and just do this percentage thing.
I mean, it does seem like a fun thing to do. As for the states with the most jackpot winners, New York is number one, followed by California and then New Jersey. But that's due to their higher population. It has nothing to do with luck. 18 states have never had a jackpot winner.
Huh. But, yes, do not board Southwest today on Friday the 13th to go to New York to get your ticket, because
it's not going to help you.
Your odds are no better.
Yeah. I think I have figured out in part what it is about the lottery system, why I don't play. I don't want to say I don't like about it, because I really have no feelings whatsoever about the lottery system.
I'm indifferent to it. I could care less.
Gambling to me is a little bit different, just because of the people that can struggle with it. But on its surface, I have no issue with gambling either. It's not my thing. I just don't understand it. But I grew up poor, so I feel like that's part of the reason. But I think I get it now. I think looking at it like this, I've never looked at it like this before and seen it this way. I'm such a fact person. I'm such a science, such a fact, such a detail, such I can't believe in Bigfoot until he's standing right in front of me kind of person, that I think that there's just too much like nonsense and gray area to a subject like this. There's no real, like, even the stats I just read you, those are stats, sure, but they're nonsense.
Right, and your probability is no greater than,
Like, if you heard that information, and you're really into this Mega Millions, and you just took this article that Terry and I went through, and you're like, okay, I'm not using this.
I was just going to say, I was thinking maybe you should read them again so we can write them down.
Yeah. I don't know how much better off you are statistically, especially when you look at, like, the highs here are, like, 9% or 10% or something like that. And I think my brain just does not like that. It's uncomfortable. Like, I don't like this whole not being able to point A to B and C thing, you know? It's interesting. I've been learning more about my brain, how it works, and, you know, scared of it. Very scared of it. Very, very, very scared of it.
Try being those of us on the outside of it.
Those numbers again. The numbers that you're looking for, the most lucky one, 14 is the most lucky. 17, 10, 31, and 38 are very common, according to this, again, 9% of the drawings.
Yes, and we may not be held accountable for your loss later this evening. Well, it is Blame Someone Else Day, though.
That's true.
Here we go.
You can blame me. If you don't win, I suppose you can blame me. But I did say that you could, so that seems fair. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. We're talking Girl Scout cookies. You're going to win with those. Nobody loses when you order Girl Scout cookies. That's a quick win. Wanted to mention something else as well, Terry, real quick before we went to break. And we're very excited about this because, you know, we're talking gambling here and everything. You want to really gamble? You want a good gamble? You want something to really dive into here? How about the $1 million advertising giveaway that our great company, Civic Media, a parent company, is doing? Civic Media has been growing and growing and growing. It seems like every day we're talking about a new station that they're buying, or I'm talking to Mike on the weekend and he's like, what are you doing? Oh, I'm scouting this station. I'm like, man, you told me you were done doing this. What are you guys doing? You got money burning in your pocket or something?
They must.
Apparently, because they're giving away $1 million.
They maybe use number 14.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Nice. Nice. We're not some conglomerate. We are not some company that is owned by another parent company, that is owned by another company or anything like that. Civic Media is just the people we tell you about. That's who's running this whole thing and trying to do something that hasn't really been done necessarily in radio on this side of things. We're so thankful to our advertisers, to our local communities, to our businesses, literally from South Beloit all the way up north. We got stations, we have people, and we want to show our local businesses that when we say we're local, that we want to support local, that's just not talk. You got to put your money where your mouth is nowadays. Well, we're doing that. $1 million worth,
perfect.
Actually. This is a great opportunity for your chance to work with Civic Media and sales team to create a radio advertising campaign promoting your business across our network. We have, in my opinion, the greatest, most energetic and fun sales and staff that you could ask for. Steph and Ashley do an amazing job. Roxanne, who's kind of the head of a lot of this stuff, really good at what she does. These are great people to work with. We're a fun company to work with. Do me a favor. If you're on the fence about this, just wait a little bit. Wait until we do Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Misty's has been with us. Let me double check. 9,000 years they've been with us.
No offense, Misty and Brian.
Because this is a great relationship.
It absolutely
is. Works. We, you know, we both have a beneficial win here when we work together.
9,000.
Misty's is an institution. They've been around a long time. But we talk about Misty's. It's not, here's the Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And then we read the birthdays. That's not how we do things around here. We go up and above and beyond. We talk about you. We promote you. We want you to be a part of this. The $1 million advertising giveaway starts at 9 a.m. on Thursday, January 26th. That is when you can sign up for it. You can find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Be a part of the conversation there and find out more. Some rules apply. To see the full details, go to civicmedia.us/million. And be sure to let everyone know you heard about the $1 million advertising giveaway right here on the morning show at WFHR. Got a little bit of bragging rights going on here.
Oh, we got
other
a little
stations.
Internal competition.
We're
That's
one of the
fun.
We're one of the newer stations to come to Civic Media, and of course they're mainly broadcasting out of Madison. So we got to show them what we do here in the Central
That's
Wisconsin.
That's awesome.
Let's show them what an 80-year-old radio station can do with our listenership, and make sure that we represent here and get us some bragging rights. We love that. It's again the $1 million advertising giveaway, Civic Media. We're so proud of this one, and we want you to spread the word about it. You can also spread the word about our app. We are streaming 24/7 at WFHR.com. You can also download our app and take us with you everywhere. Please, even if it's just your dog listening to us, have it streaming in the background and just have it playing.
Just keep it on.
He's a good boy. He's a good dog. He's a good dog. Yes. See, when you throw that in there for once in a while for the dogs that are listening. We appreciate you doing that and appreciate you help keeping local radio alive, everybody. Support local, buy local. And find out more about this by going to the website civicmedia.us/million. Take a break, come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Be sure to stick around after CBS News at the top of the hour. Our friends at the WeatherEye Weather Center will join us. We'll get a look at your weekend forecast from Mother Nature. Looking forward to that.
Good, because I did not hear Jennifer say anything about sun.
No.
We just need it to just peek out for just a half an hour.
We'll ask Paul to lie to us. We'll call it.
I think that we should. I think we should. You should just text him ahead of time and say, when you come on, all sunshine.
All sunshine. Just nothing.
All sunshine.
85 today. In a minute. So Girl Scout cookie season, everybody. Troop leaders and customers, get ready. All you lucky fans out there of the Girl Scout cookies, get ready. This says there is a little bit of supply chain issues I see that they were having and stuff, but there should be no issues as far as like us people who get them, you know, the way we normally get Girl Scout cookies. It could be a bit of an issue to like factories and things like that. So,
okay.
But to average everybody out there, it shouldn't be nothing to worry about. January 4th through March 12th, they'll have cookie booths and favorite retail stores. We'll start having them on February 17th. So it is a getting close and close to that. Now, earlier, Terry mentioned the new Girl Scout cookie, the radical new Girl Scout cookie. I purposely did not look.
Oh.
I'm going to look on the air and discover it just now with everybody else. It is called Raspberry Rally. It's a thin, crispy cookie that looks and acts like a Thin Mint with the same chocolatey coating, but instead of a minty center, it's infused with raspberry flavor.
Yeah, I'm curious.
They're calling this their most bold flavor yet.
Whoa.
At least this website
I think their lemon
say.
One is actually pretty bold. But yeah, this I'm curious about it. I mean, definitely I'm not going to lie. I'd be a little bit ticked if I had, because I always put my Thin Mints in the freezer.
Yeah.
So... You know what I mean? Like you grab it and you think you're getting a mint and you're getting something else.
Yes. Oh, that would be frustrating.
But I don't know. And I don't know if these are available in all selling areas. Because I thought I was hearing someone say that they're online. Is that right?
According to a release from Girl Scouts of Northeast Texas and Girl Scouts of the USA, they're adding a new flavor. And let me see. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that it said it there. It will also be available in limited quantities, so stand by for some frenzied online shopping. Okay, so, I'm not seeing location-wise.
Yeah, so anything. I don't know if, you know, your local Girl Scout who knocks on your door to come sell you cookies, I don't know if she's going to be selling those.
Yeah.
But I would be interested in trying them. You know, so maybe at the cookie booths. I really don't know.
Yeah. And I would, yeah, it does, in this article, they are talking about referencing Texas more than once. So it, maybe you're right. I imagine, you know, I always lean towards you being right on these things. So yeah, I would say
well,
that you
I appreciate that.
Well, you know what you're talking about. So that's a good one. I would definitely try that. I've tried all of them. And really, even the ones I don't like that much, they're still good.
Yeah. Was your sister a Girl Scout?
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, I did Girl Scouts. My sister did Girl Scouts. Both my girls did when they were little. You cool. know, and it is kind of fun at cookie time when you have, like, these mounds of boxes, you know, of everything that they sell. So, it is cool. And you know what? If you're asked by a girl, remember that it's not just about the cookies, right? It's about her learning skills and the entrepreneurship of it and the responsibility of selling and then coming back and delivering. And so, you know, think about the other parts of it outside of, you know, if you're a little reluctant, like, I don't really need a box of cookies, but that little girl needs you to need a box of cookies.
Yeah.
It's important to what she's learning.
You may not, you don't have to buy a box of cookies, but you do. I do want to say that you almost have to treat these kids with some respect and show they're learning. This isn't about the cookies, everybody. We love the cookies. They're amazing and all that. It has very little to do with the cookies and more to do with them gaining some confidence, being comfortable, and... Can I say this, too? In 2023, it being okay for a little kid to go up to a stranger's door and do this. Like, we cannot lose sight and live in a world where that can't happen.
Yeah.
Like, so, if anything, this is a barometer for us to know, hey, society's still somewhat okay. We can still do this. Like, if we get to a point where we can't even do this... Man, we're already in trouble. We're at the point of almost no return if it comes to that. So there's a lot more to this than just some really, really good tasting cookies, which I do not want to undersell. They are amazing.
Oh,
cookies.
Absolutely. And even if you're not a cookie eater, whoever that would be, I have no idea. But they do have a program too where you can purchase a box and then it'll be sent overseas to the troops.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know, there's that opportunity as well.
So, looking at this list, they got Toffee-tastic at 13. Those are pretty good. The Adventurefuls at number 12. Those are different. Those are interesting. Caramel chocolate chip is in there at number 11. The lemonades made number 10.
I like those.
Oh, do you? Okay. All right. by the way, the Raspberry Rally made it to number 9 already.
Already?
Interesting. Tagalongs or the peanut butter
patties.
Those
were always my favorite.
It was really good. That was number 8. I love that you and my mother do the same thing with the Thin Mints. You put them in the freezer.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The problem is that I eat at least half the sleeve.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
Like...
It's impossible to eat, like, to not eat half the sleep. I genuinely believe it is impossible.
I will tell you, though, probably about a week ago, I was, you know, kind of going through my upright freezer upstairs, and I was like, and there was a box from last year that had fallen behind, and I was like, oh, score.
the way that they must have looked when they came across the Holy Grail, like very similar, like, Lemon Ups made it to number 7.
You know, some of these that you're saying, like, I don't even know.
I don't remember that one, yeah.
No.
Girl Scout S'mores. I've seen those, but I haven't seen them like that.
Yeah, I feel like we had those, you know, locally here, maybe recently.
Okay, yeah.
It does in just look the last couple of years.
The classic shortbread, the trifle.
Yeah, they used to be called trefoils when we were kids, but yeah. I like those, too.
I do. I like those, yeah. Those are good. Do-si-dos.
Yeah, or I think they call them peanut butter patty. No, yeah. Not peanut butter. Peanut butter sandwich now is what they call those, I think.
Not bad, though. And Thin Mints only made it to number 3 on the list. Ooh, interesting.
Uh-oh.
Eat one right after a garlicky meal to cleanse your palate. It's a close second to brushing your teeth, they say, as a pro tip with Thin Mints.
That is so weird.
That is very weird. Who is doing that? I really love Thin Mints.
Can you see like a 7-year-old girl?
Yeah.
And if you eat one after you have garlic.
Oh, I love it. Yes, kids, use that as a selling point. Go for it. I as much as I love Thin Mints, I don't want to get in trouble with my Thin Mint people here or anything. But number 2 on the list, these Toastiers. They're basically like Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal.
Oh, never tried them.
Oh, they're so good. Mm. They are amazing.
That would not be high on my go-to.
Oh, I really like those. And the classic Samoas, the Caramel Delights.
Yes. I'm not a huge coconut person. Although the older I get, the more I will tolerate it. But people love those.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I think it's been several years since Allison was in Girl Scouts, but when she was, you know, at the end, that was the highest sell. Like, we had more purple boxes than we had of anything else.
The purple boxes,
and Thin Mints and the peanut butter patties, or those were the ones that were the highest sellers.
It's interesting, too, because there's very little things that I like coconut in. That's one I never minded it. It always seemed to complement the cookie a little bit. We will take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun and be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center coming up here on The Morning Show at WFHR.